Well, hello, everybody. How are you doing today? It's your friend Manoli. I know it's been a long time. Manoli's been very busy. I've been busy. I've been doing everything. What have you been doing, Manoli? I've been doing everything. I've been working. I've been singing. I've been sleeping. It's amazing. It's really something. I've been very busy. But I make time for you guys today. Here I am. Manoli is back. I got to put these... I always want to grab something when I'm doing this. I grab something and it makes noise through the whole show, so I'm putting it away. Your South Carolina Gamecocks just beat Clemson in the football game. How about that? How about that? They said we couldn't do it. They said we couldn't do it. We did it. You people out there. This has been a really good season. You know, we were 9-3. We really should be 10-2 because that LSU game was stolen from us by those corrupt referees, and I don't feel bad for saying it. I guess they'll sue me now. I think it was stolen. How about that? I say I think. That's an opinion. They can't sue me for that. The SEC referees are going to come execute me in the middle of the night for the... Just come and garrot me in my sleep. It'll be awful. But yeah, that game was stolen. And then the Bama game was so close. We only lost by 2 points. We could have had that one too. We could be... No, I'm sorry. What's our record now? Hold on. How many games did we play? Did we come in 8-3 or 9-3? Hold on. South Carolina. Yeah, so we're 9-3 now because we beat them. That's what I thought. So we could be 11-1. Oh, the pain. But listen, I'm really happy with the season. You know, it hasn't always been easy. Lenore Sellers is fantastic. I might have to name my son Lenore after him because he's saved us time and time again. He should win the Heisman. He should at least be in contention. I think he should win. I'm obviously a little biased, but I digress. But it did not look good throughout the game. I mean, we were losing. We looked terrible, to be honest with you, for a lot of that game. We couldn't get anything going. We kept giving away penalties. We kept having turnovers, interceptions, whatever. My heart rate was going up and down. It was horrible. At one point, when they had that one, I talked like you saw the game. There was one point where one of our guys had a penalty on him that he didn't need. And the next play, they threw an interception. And I literally slammed the remote down the table and I walked away. Of course, I came back, but it was really up and down. My soul feels like it's been through a washing machine. It's fantastic. I don't know how else to describe it. This is like the best year in sports for me in a very long time. Carolina's finally good. The Dodgers won the World Series. Did you hear that the Dodgers won the 2024 World Series? Did you hear that, people? Isn't that exciting? They said they bought the series. Well, you know what? Let's buy another one. How about that? No, we did not buy it. We earned it because we had no pitching. Almost all of our starting pitchers were injured. Freddie Freeman is a legend. I have to name my other son Freddie after him because this guy, he saved us in the first three games. He hit that amazing walk-off grand slam home run to win the first game. It was like a Kirk Gibson moment. It was amazing. I could not believe my eyes. I couldn't believe my eyes. And you know what? And then he saved us the next two games, and then they won game four, but then they collapsed in game five. What a disaster that was. Did you see that? They completely fell apart. They couldn't field. They had like 8 errors. It was hilarious. It was fantastic for me. Gerrit Cole, the best pitcher ever, the superstar, the god, he couldn't run to first base to tag the guy out. He couldn't tag Mookie. He couldn't talk. I don't know what happened. He fell apart. Well, you know what? Sucks for him, and it sucks for the Yankees. And guess what? We have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a Dodgers and Yankees World Series for a long time. Our teams have met more than any other teams in the World Series, and you know what? We got it, and we stomped their asses. So you're welcome, America. The two most hated teams, but the second most hated beat the first most hated. So there you go. Although we might be the most hated now. But you know what? I like it. It fuels me. Let the hate flow through you. That's what Emperor Palpatine said. So, you know, I think it's good advice. That was such an amazing series. I mean, it was so fun to watch. Fun for me, but, you know, really fun to watch. And people were like, 2020, it was a Mickey Mouse ring. Well, guess what? Shut up. It was, first of all, 2020 was not a Mickey Mouse ring. Everybody had the same odds. Everybody had the same situation. And we won. If your team had won, you wouldn't be saying that. And now in 2024, we finally did it again. And we crushed it. And we're going to keep crushing it. Because we have Ohtani. We have Yamamoto. We just signed Blake Snell. We got Tyler Glass now. We got Tommy Edman. We got Clayton Kershaw. Who else do we have? A lot of people. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. What am I kidding? I can't even talk. There's so many superstars on this team. I think we'll sign Teoscar Hernandez back. He was a huge help to us. It's going to be good. We don't have Kershaw yet, actually. That's not true. He hasn't signed yet. He's actually a free agent. He'll sign with us. Who else? No, you be quiet. Astro is sitting on my bed. My folks are not here, and he's literally been living in my bed. He likes to sit there. He'll run in. This is my little dog. He'll run in. He'll jump up in my bed. He sits there. He sits right in the middle, right in the center, like literally the geometric center of my bed. And if I try to lay down, you know, if I try to go to sleep, he gets up and leaves. So he only wants it if he can have it for himself. If I try to get in there, he wants to leave. He'll jump down, he'll look at me, wait for me to open the door for him to leave. He's a funny thing. Ain't that right, Astro? Oh, he looked at me. Little ass. That's right, little ass. Disastro, Ratstro. Ratstro is when they shaved his hair. He looked like a big white rat. You look like a rat. Did you know that? He's staring at me. He's like, why are you speaking to me? I'm trying to relax. You should see the way he's laid out. He looks like a sphinx. He has his arms out in front of him. It's hilarious. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for, Manoli? I'm thankful that my Gamecocks won. I'm thankful that my Dodgers won. It's been wonderful. The only thing that could be better is if my fantasy team didn't suck. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. It started off good. I won the first three games. I said, I'm never going to lose. And guess what? I've lost. Seven games this year. Seven. That's horrible. All my players got injured. I don't understand this. I draft. They tell me these guys are the best draft picks. They're the most wonderful things, and they all get injured. I mean, you think some of them would stay healthy, but no. I drafted Tua, and he got injured. But I also had Tyreek Hill, who was supposed to be the greatest wide receiver ever, and he was worthless without Tua. It was embarrassing. I actually had to bench him a couple times. And then the second round pick, I drafted that awful Travis Etienne. That guy is like my number one worst enemy. That was the worst pick I've ever made. I have been playing fantasy football and baseball for a long time, probably about 10 years now. And that was the single worst pick I ever made in my life. Second round pick. I didn't want to draft the guy because he's a Clemson guy, and I didn't want to draft him. And I said, oh, you know, he's the best guy out there, blah, 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 blah. And so I drafted him, and you know what? He sucks. I had to drop him. I literally dropped this guy, my second-round pick. Can you believe it? The third pick, I drafted Nico Collins, who was very good, but he was hurt for like 18 months. Alvin Kamara has been okay. He's like the best out of my first four. And then my number five pick, Chris Godwin, he's out for the season. So what am I supposed to do? It's demoralizing. It's like you have no choice. But you know what? I'm not going to complain because things are good. Things are good in Manoli world. I'm very thankful. Thanksgiving, you know, I had to get up in the morning. I had to drive up to Prosperity, South Carolina. You ever been to Prosperity, South Carolina? Not a whole lot to see there. That's where my mother's from. That's where my grandparents live. Yeah, you know, it's a nice little town. They have Dollar General. they have a traffic circle. It's really something. You know, you go around. You can go around all day if you wanted to. Lots of houses. Lots of open. It's actually a very beautiful part of the state. It's on Lake Murray, which is nice. The lake is there. That's something to do. I don't like to get in that water. If I can't see what's in there, I don't want to get in. I remember one time I went tubing on the lake and I fell in and it was so warm. I was like, this is not right. This isn't right. I can't see. I don't know what's in there. Gators and snakes or strange creatures from Lake Murray. the swamp thing, the swamp thing, you know about the swamp thing, he's real. He's like Bigfoot. He's our Bigfoot. And the lizard man. What am I talking about? Anyway, so I drove up to Prosperity, South Carolina. Yes, you know, they actually, the traffic circle had something funny happen to it. They said that Elvis was sighted there. You know, after he died, people had the Elvis sightings. They say he was spotted at the traffic circle in Prosperity. Can you imagine? That's how poor the people are up there. They have to have been an Elvis sighting. I digress. It's a small town. But you know what? Sometimes the small ones are the good ones. It's a charming little place. I like it up there. I you know what? I think I'm not going to move there. maybe someday at the end of my days, I'll live out in the country, sit on my porch with a shotgun, drinking whiskey. That'd be a good plan. I actually want to live in Greece when all said and done. But anyway, moving on. We got a lot of the time before that, I hope. Of course. But anyway, so I drove up to Prosperity in the morning. I had to be there by 12:30. Originally, it was 2, but somebody who will not be named, even though I know they listen to the show, they're going to know what I'm talking about them. Chris. Love you, Aunt Chris, by the way. Thank you for the birthday gift. My birthday's in a couple of days. Aunt Chris asked us to move the time up because it was supposed to storm or something or another. So we said, okay, sure, no problem. Be there 12:30. I would have been there on time, too, but I pulled into a rest station off of I-26, and I was walking, and somebody was running up to me. I said, who is this person? I thought maybe they're going to try to kill me. This girl was running up to me, and I said, who is that? And it was somebody I went to high school with, Eliza. Shout out to Eliza, who probably doesn't even know this show exists. Shout out to you, Eliza. And I was like, oh my golly, I cannot go anywhere, people. I'm telling you, I can't go anywhere. I people in New York recognize me, in Chicago, all over the place. I could go to Australia. I've found somebody I know. I can't even pull off to take a piss without somebody. I run into somebody I know. It's fantastic. And, you know, it's hard being famous. I don't know what to tell you. But I was like, oh, what are the odds of that? So we called up. She's doing well for herself. But I had to do a stop and chat, obviously. Not that I mind. It was a good one. It was for a good cause. Stop and chat there. And so I was a few minutes late. But anyway, you get there. It's all this preamble. You got to get there. You talk about the food. You think about the food all year. And then it's like 15 minutes. And I'm like, I can't even eat anymore. I had to stand up. And let me tell you something. I am a Thanksgiving fan, but I think the side dishes are the best part. The turkey itself, you know, it's sometimes good, but it's sometimes really bad. And it's always not, I wouldn't say always not satisfactory, but it's not as good as you remember it being. You know, everyone's like, oh, I want the turkey. And then you get it, it's like, why the hell did I even want this turkey? You know, it's good, but it's not the best thing. It's like, I'd rather have a beef Wellington. Or some kind of tenderloin or lamb chops. It's like, you know, nobody for their birthday says, I want to go out and have a big roast turkey. Nobody does that. You know why? Turkey isn't that good. Not like that, at least. But, you know, you do it for the holiday. And it's like, well, that's the first time. Oh, my TV's been going in the background. Oh, shoot. Strange noises over there. Sorry, I didn't know that was on. And I'm not recording 15 minutes worth of footage. It was actually rather soothing. It kind of blended. It was almost like a little soundtrack. It was like, do-do-do-do. That was my PlayStation. That was all. You may not even be able to hear it. So, anyway, what was I saying? The turkey's okay. But really, it's the stuffing. What is stuffing? Does anybody know? I have no idea what it is. What is that? The mac and cheese and the bread and the dumplings and the vegetables and the squash. And all that stuff, the mashed potatoes, and all that stuff, that's where it's at, baby. The gravy. Oh, the gravy. And my cousin Ashley, she baked this wonderful bread, and she told us about 25 times, make sure you dip it in the oil. Well, guess what, Ashley, who also listens to this, I dipped it in the oil, and it was very good. Thank you for reminding us to dip it into the oil, Ashley. Wonderful, wonderful bread. But yeah, I'm one of these people, I can never decide when I'm in the moment. And so I put everything that I might want to eat on my plate. and it's way too much food. I had to stand up. I can't even sit down after I eat. And I do it for a couple of reasons. One, it makes me feel better. Number two, I like being taller than other people. And the only time that happens is when everybody else is sitting down. So it's nice to get the other perspective every once in a while. So I had to stand up. And but yeah, it's all this preamble. And it's like you eat and it's over. That's it. And now I have to talk to these people. It's crazy. no, it was a wonderful time. My family left me. They're on a cruise, so I was representing. I couldn't go because I had to work. Can you imagine working? Can you imagine doing that? I can. But yeah, so I went up there for that. It was a wonderful time. You know, you watch the football. Y'all watch the parade. I don't really like the parade. You know, how many times can you see SpongeBob? You know, I love SpongeBob, but it's like, you know, I've seen it. And it's always like Mariah Carey going up there. For Christmas, or whoever else, Sabrina Carpenter. I don't even know who did they have this year. I don't know. I didn't see it. I did want to go back though and watch the part. It was like, it was, you know, not the whole thing, but the Carolina band actually played at the parade, which was, I think, very impressive. So I will actually go back and watch that. But I'm over the parade. You know, how much singing and dancing could there be? You know, all these people. Sabrina Carpenter, Ariana Grande, whoever it is, Mariah. I mean, how many times can I see these people? I'm sick of them. I'm sick of seeing them. They act like they're Michelangelo and Da Vinci. It's just ridiculous. And I won't even mention the other one, T.S. We all know who that is. That name is banned from my airwaves. Yeah. Oh, man. Don't even get me started. Don't get me going. I mean, you want to talk about somebody they really overhype and over exaggerated. It's like, I mean, she's not God, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can relax a little bit, you know. I understand being a fan of something, but not like that. Anyway, so before I get off my soapbox, so I, you know, my cousins, they like to bring their boyfriends to Thanksgiving, you know, and I always have to vet the boyfriends. I have to check them out. My Aunt Chris, again, she calls me the godfather of the family because they have to give, I guess I have to sign off on them. I don't know. I mean, what would happen? I'm not going to tell them I don't approve because I'm 5.5 feet tall. They kick my ass. So I have to be cordial. And then behind the scenes, I have to go, he won't. I don't like him. Or if I get along with them, I actually get to know them. And you know what? The ones this year were good. I will say that. We've had some bad ones. You know, every time I didn't like the guy, he turned out to be a creep. So I think my track record is very good, actually. The one that really annoys me the most, though, and I won't say which cousin it was that brought this man, even though she knows who she is. I never seen this man before in my life. I never saw him again. His name was Sam. That wasn't actually his name, but I'm going to use an alias because he might listen to this and he might come and find me and then strangle me. So, you know, to protect the not so innocent, I will say Sam. And he was a nice enough guy. Not much really to remark about. I don't really remember anything about him, but we were all taking a, gosh, that's so mean, Manoli. You're so rude today. I'm happy, you know. I get mean when I'm happy. I don't know what to tell you. It's like the carefree. It just rolls off the tongue, but I'm sure he's a fine guy. I wish him all the best. But listen, this guy, we were taking a big family picture, 30 people, the aunts, the uncles, the grandparents, the grandkids, the cousins, the estranged people, you know, everybody was there. There's no estranged people, but anyway, everybody was there and we're all getting together to take this picture. And this guy, Sam, he's in the picture. And I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, hello. Get out. You know, you're not in the family. We just met you. You're just the Thanksgiving boyfriend. And my Aunt Lori is getting ready to take the picture of my very smart cousin Amanda. She's a doctor, so you know she's smart. She goes, hey, why doesn't Sam take the picture? And it's like, he even move. It's like he ignored it completely. And so, yeah, we have this beautiful picture. It's my whole family, and this guy's in it. And we never saw him again. I was like, well, why did he take the picture? It made my aunt take it. My Aunt Lori took the picture. She wasn't even in it with her own family. This guy's in there. It was a wonderful picture, and that clown is standing there smiling like he's going to be there next year. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it. Why did he do that? I mean, how do you not have any awareness of your surroundings to be like, oh, I'm the guest. I should take the picture. Let my aunt take it. It's like we should just cut out the picture of the next boyfriend and paste it onto his face. That's really what we should have done. It was ridiculous. Although that was about 10, 15 years ago. The picture's a little out of date. I'm actually much more handsomer now, you know. I've gotten better looking as I've gotten older, which is a good thing. You know, you want to be going up, not the other way around. But, there was a time when I was about 15, 16. I was a little, how do I put this? One day I looked in the mirror and I said, what the hell? I said, what did you do? What did you do to yourself? What have you done? Look what you did. Look how you massacred yourself. What did you do? I lost 30 pounds after that. That's what I have to do for me. I have to shame myself into doing the right thing, into eating right and into exercising. Because otherwise, if I don't, I would be eating pasta and bread and all kinds of stuff all day long. Pizza. I love that kind of stuff, but guess what? It makes me look like the Michelin Man. And so I looked in the mirror. I said, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like what's going on, what you did. And so I lost 30 pounds that year. It was fantastic. It was right around like when I was 16 going on to 17. I am 16 going on to 17. What's my point? My point being is that, you know, I have a certain weight that I like to stay at. I like to hover around there. I won't tell you what it is. Maybe you could guess. Yeah, that could be a competition, actually. The winner gets a slap in the face. So there you go. No, I'm kidding. I had a big bowl of M&Ms. I would grab just a handful of them and go, and I just pour them into my mouth. They're like 30 at a time. It was horrible. Why did I do that to myself? Who knows what kind of harm I caused my body. But guess what? I don't eat sweets anymore. I really don't eat much sugar. I don't eat like candy like that anymore. Maybe every once in a while I have a couple bites of dessert. I really cut that out. I try not to eat too many carbs. That's a tough one. I really like that stuff. That's what I would like to eat. But I try to do better. We try. Manoli tries. He's trying. I digress. I try to exercise. I hate cardio, but I try to do it every once in a while. I like to lift the weights. You like to lift the weights? It's something clears the mind. I don't like it that much because I still have to like force myself to do it. But, you know, I like it more than the other thing. And the sauna is good, too. Allegedly, you burn a lot of calories in the sauna. Sauna is fantastic. You get in there. You're watching TV, watching Gladiator or whatever it is that you're watching. You're sweating. You sweat and you put the scent in. And have all kinds of smells now, these essential oils. You got the eucalyptus. You got the lemon. You got the lemongrass. We have lemon and we have lemongrass. We have the cedarwood. We have the frankincense. It makes it biblical. We have all kinds of stuff. We have rosemary. I come out, I put that in there. I come out smelling like a rack of lamb. It's fantastic. The sauna is wonderful. I know I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it again. But back to Thanksgiving, afterwards, my aunt and uncle, my Uncle Marty and my Aunt Tracy, they came back and we were playing cards. And we were playing partners in Pinochle. Me and my grandmother were a pair, and my Uncle Marty and Aunt Tracy were a pair. And apparently, Uncle Marty and Aunt Tracy had been on something of a win streak, but I snapped that. I took care of that because they lost. I kicked their asses, what really happened. It was a war of attrition. Yeah, I don't know if you ever played Pinochle, but you can do this thing where you go negative if you mess up. If you mess up, you can go into the negatives. And we did that like six times, like seven times in one game between the both teams. So the game went on for a lot longer than it should have. But it was a war of attrition. And I didn't have one good hand. I had to be smart. I had to play with my head. Smart brain up here. But sometimes... So we're playing this game, and you could go set. Yeah, they went set like 800 times. I never had a good hand. I had like almost a good hand every time. I had like 4 out of the 5 cards I needed for a run, or 3 out of the 4 cards I needed for all the aces, or 3 out of the 4 cards I needed for a double pinochle, which is the best of all. But you know what? Manoli stayed strong, and me and my grandmother worked together, and we beat him up for $9. $9 we won. $9. Isn't that amazing? I don't know why I get sniffly whenever I do this. I'll be fine the whole day, but as soon as I get up here, I'm all sniffle city. I have to go back and edit this stuff out. I have to edit out the sniffles because I'm going to drive away my tens of viewers, my dozens of devoted fans. I don't want to do that. I want to annoy you people. I annoy you enough as it is, so I don't want to annoy you anymore. But Pinochle's fun, you know. Although I did make a mistake. I gave my grandmother an ace, and she said, "Don't give me an ace again." And so I was like, okay, message received. And she's so sweet. She felt bad after. She's like, "I'm sorry I said that to you." I'm like, "No, please tell me. I'm an idiot. I need all the help I can get. I don't want to mess you up. I need a coach. You can tell me I can handle all that." The grandparents are always fun. My papa's doing well. He's doing fine. My grandmother's doing well. Very happy about that. They're sharp as tacks. They're smart people. They cook good. They're very hospitable to their guests. I stayed up in the guest bedroom. The heating wasn't working, but there was this wonderful red blanket. I never had used such a blanket before. It was fantastic. It was red. It was huge. It was heavy. I could have wrapped myself up like 5 times in that blanket. And there's nothing else like it. I don't know what it is, the best blanket I ever had. I'm going to have to steal that blanket next time, Grandma and Papa. But so that was Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Do you people do that? We don't do that. No, no, no. And who are these people that are running on Thanksgiving? Could it be me? I mean, more power to you, but maybe that's why. That takes a certain kind of person, but, you know, good for you. It could not be me. Thanksgiving for me is about drinking and eating. But anyway, what can I say? And the next morning, they made breakfast for me. It's the most wonderful breakfast. So I came back down to Charleston. and here I am. I was in a production of La Boheme this past weekend, this last Friday, last Sunday, and it was actually wonderful. You know, not that it wouldn't be, but I was really impressed with how it came out. The setting was beautiful. The singers were great. You know, the cast was really good. I had a few lines. I was the customs house sergeant. And he's very integral to the plot, and he has some really nice music. You know, what he does is he opens and closes the gate for people. You know, I mean, we couldn't have a show without that. And, you know, these people were yelling at him. They're saying, "Hey, come to the gate," because I went inside. I was too cold. I wake up. The fun part was I was the only guy on stage for like the start of Act 3. And so I'm sleeping. And I wake up, now without sound effects because the music's going. And I stretch, and then I get up and I'm cold, and then I'm trying to warm my hands by the fire. Can't you just see it in your head, the special effects I'm doing right now? Astro's looking at me like I'm insane, by the way. I'm trying to warm up and I say, screw this. I got to go inside and get a drink. So I come out with my drink and here it is. Here it is. You hear that? The sound effects? It's wine. It's water. It's wine. I just spilled all over my face because I'm crazy. You see how I worked in my water break there? You see that right there? That's some smart stuff. I'm telling you. This brain, I'm almost 25. It's almost fully developed. I need all the help I can get. What was I saying? Anyway, so I go in to get a drink, and I come out, and these guys are at the gate. They're saying, "Oi là, le guardie, aprite," you know, open the gate, not in that octave. And then I look at them, and I say, "Vengo," which means I'm coming. I have to get the keys out. That was a big, I had a nice uniform. It was a good costume. It really shaped me nice. I looked very official, you know, handsome fella. And nice hat, gloves. I open the gate for them, and I sit down, I try to pour a drink, and then I hear these sounds, hopla, hopla, and it's these ladies that are trying to sell milk, these milkmaids coming to my gate, and so I have to say, I'm annoyed, and I say, "Son già le latte vendole," which means here come the milkmaids. I open the gate for them, And then I try to sit down and have my drink again. And this other guy comes up, the Sargento, my superior. And he looks at me. I pour him a drink, and I try to start finally take a sip. And then someone's texting me. It's my mother. Oh, imagine that. Anyway, so, and then Mimi comes out. You know Mimi, obviously, if you know the work. And they talk or whatever. And then I have to let more people in. And this guy, his name was Alan in the show. No, actually, it wasn't Alan. It was Ralph. Different guy. I'm confusing my chorus members. Ralph walks by with a basket. Who walked by with the basket? Was it Alan or Ralph? I think it was Ralph. Anyway, Ralph walks by with the basket. I'm not paying attention because I'm tired and I'm half drunk. And my superior says, "Hey, quel paniere, you missed one." And so I walk up to him and I look inside and I say, "Vuoto," which means it's empty. And that was all my line. So there you go. I just performed the first 3 minutes of La Boheme Act 3 for you. You're welcome. No, it really played to my strengths, this role. You know, I had to be annoyed, I had to drink, and I had to yell. So that knocked it out of the park as far as I'm concerned. I know it was a wonderful show. It was really cool to be a part of it because here's kind of my history with opera and kind of with Puccini in general is that the first opera I ever went to was a double bill, and the other opera was okay. But the thing that really got me interested was Puccini's first opera, Le Villi, which is excellent. And I saw that in that same theater, the Sottile, for Spoleto Festival. And I was 13, so that was over 11 years ago now. I was there with my Aunt Theone, who unfortunately recently left us, so may her memory be eternal. We miss her all very much. I was there for her with that. So it was really kind of surreal to be in the Puccini opera on the other side of the stage, you know, some 11 years later, singing what, you know, a small role, but, you know, hey, it's three more lines than I had last year, so I'm very happy with that. And that was in the chorus as well, and I actually was the backup for Colline, who sings the famous coda aria, Vecchia Stimata, in the good part. Anyway, that's it. The cast was superb. I was really impressed with the talent. Really impressed with everybody involved. Really an honor to be a part of it. The chorus was fun. Yeah, it's a fun group of people to be around, which is not always the case for singers, you know. I've always kind of felt like kind of the guy off the street because, you know, I have two other jobs. Singing's kind of my hobby. You know, I make time for when I can, but I can't do it all the time. I made time for this. This is a big production, La Boheme. It's a wonderful thing. Good group of people to be around. Everyone's so nice, welcoming. Yeah, really a positive thing to be in. So it went well. Both performances were sold out. Everyone loved it. You know, that's a good first opera to go to. It's not my favorite Puccini. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it very much, actually. I really like how economical it is with the time because it's not that long musically, but it doesn't feel too short. It doesn't feel too long. There's really nothing you want to, like, skip over or take out. It's kind of just, it's really well-paced. And I think Act Two was pretty much perfect. That's my favorite. I love the Christmas Eve stuff and with the crowd and with Musetta. That's fun. You know, it's fun. The ending's not so fun, but that part's fun. The ending is a bit of a downer. But, you know, and being in it, I've really become acquainted with it because I had to learn, you know, my stuff in Act 3, but also the chorus and Colline. So, yeah, it's good. I'm very well acquainted with it. Is it my favorite Puccini? No, it's not. I like Tosca more, but it's probably in my top three. So there you go. What else can I do for you? But yeah, it was a great experience. Really, really grateful for that. I had something else I wanted to say about it, but I can't remember what it was. Did I mention I know what it was. After the performance, I was talking to some people who attended, and one of them walked up to me. She said, "You have the face to be on stage." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And I said, "Well, that's such a nice compliment." She's like, "No, really, your face is so striking. You have that je ne sais quoi. Is that how you say it? Je ne sais quoi." And I'm like, "Well, I think I'll just go to bed after that. That's the best compliment I've ever heard. That's one of the nice, I think that's the nicest thing anybody has ever said about my face. It's wonderful. I never, you know," and she did say striking, so I don't know, that could go a couple ways, but I think she meant it well. And she was a nice lady. And we talked for a while. She's like, "No, it just jumps right out at you, this face." And I'm like, "Well, thank you very much. I worked hard on it. So, you know, happy to have it." happy to have it. And then another person afterwards, they're like, you know, my husband used to be a bass, and he said, this guy has a wonderful bass voice you have. And I said, wow, I made that much of an impression off of three lines. My face is good. My bass voice is good. You know what? What a success. This has been a wonderful year. It has been a good year. It was a very good year. Things are going good professionally, personally, in the sports world. Oh, it's like the triple. This is wonderful. This was a wonderful year. It's almost coming to it. I'm almost 25. I think it'll be even better. You have to keep the faith. You have to be, you know, hopeful that it's going to get even better. So things are good, people. I really can't complain. I thank God every day, or at least I should. And, you know, very blessed. That's all I can say. Very blessed. A lot of good things happening. So, wow, this is the most positive I've ever been on the show. Somebody told me they like my face and my voice, and I'm just beaming with excitement. I'm beaming. Can't you hear that, Astro? What do you think of my face? You think it's a good one? Don't answer that. My Gamecocks are rolling. My Dodgers won the World Series. I could cry. I'm so happy. What else could I want? I have nothing else to say. The end. I'm cured. I'm fixed. It's fantastic. It has been good, though. I'm very happy. Are you ready for Christmas time is here? Yeah, da-da-da-da. And I can't know the words, so I will do a scat. It's officially, you can now be in Christmas mode. I give you permission. You know, I don't like this whole, you have to wait till Thanksgiving is over, because we need the Thanksgiving mood, that kind of thing going on. And then you can switch to Christmas. I can't be jolly for a whole month. You know, it's too much. It's very hard for me actually to be jolly all the time. So, you know, because I'm really positive all the time. But right now I am. You know why? Because things are going well. Things are good. Things are good. And you know what? I think I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to take my wonderful bass voice and my striking je ne sais quoi face. And I think I'm going to go on my merry way and have some food. You like food? I like the food. I like to eat. I don't eat too much now, Manoli. Remember what used to happen. Remember where you came. Remember who you are, Simba. Oh, rest in peace, James Earl Jones. My golly. That was a blow. Anyway, on that note, I think that's it for me. I will edit this later if I don't. Oh, get this. So I actually recorded a full 30, 40 minutes in September. I don't remember what I talked about, but I recorded it. I was like, I'll edit it later. You know, me punting the ball again, procrastinating like I always do. I'll edit it later. And then my computer did an update or something. It just wiped it. So I have no idea what was said. It's a lost episode. Who can find it? I can't. And you know what? That's it for me. You guys have a good night. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas season. I hope everything is good. I hope you get to eat. I hope you get to sleep. I hope you get rest. I hope you enjoy yourself. I hope I talk to you soon. I won't leave you again for this long. I don't know what happens. It's like, if I wait long enough, it's like I can't. I have a hard time getting back into it. It's like that phrase, what are you doing? Did you hear him? He just jumped down. I don't know where he's going. He probably has to go to the bathroom. But anyway, oh, golly. Sorry about that. I don't know what that was about. But anyway, have a good night, and thanks. Goodbye.